From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Voting rights advocates scored a victory this week when a federal judge ruled that the state of Kansas cannot require proof of citizenship in order to register to vote. Kansas, whose Secretary of State Chris Kobach has led the fight to restrict voting rights in his state and federally, was ordered by Judge Julie A. Robinson to permanently ban citizenship requirements for registration. The judge's 118-page decision also took aim at Secretary Kobach directly, requiring him to complete several hours of legal education before he can renew his license. Kobach slammed the decision, vowing to appeal it. Meanwhile, investigative journalist Greg Pallast, who took on Kobach's attacks on voting rights in his documentary, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, has filed a suit along with the ACLU against the states of Kansas and Ohio over exposed voter data. The U.S. Supreme Court recently affirmed the right of Ohio to purge voter rolls if voters do not vote in a federal election. We turn to Greg Pallast. In addition to being an investigative reporter, he is a filmmaker. His news-breaking stories have appeared on BBC Television, The Guardian, and Rolling Stone. His latest film is The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, a tale of billionaires and ballot bandits, based on his New York Times bestselling books. Welcome to the program, Greg.
Glad to be with you again, Sonali.
So you are somebody who has identified for years now Chris Kobach's personal crusade to ensure that as few people vote as possible, or at least as few of the people that he doesn't want to vote as possible. He's very much a central figure in that Republican effort to restrict voting rights, and therefore was tapped by the president to lead this now defunct group to study so-called voter fraud federally. But on this 118-page decision by this federal judge, it seems as though, to put it coarsely, Chris Kobach has been slapped down pretty badly.
Yeah, it was a pretty severe smackdown like I've never seen from a federal judge. Understand, this follows her charging him twice with contempt of court because he said, you have to understand, what he said is that we have this danger of all these people, you know, swimming the Rio Grande to vote in American elections. And as a result, he imposed a condition that you have to prove you're a citizen to vote. Now, that may sound reasonable offhand, but guess what? We ain't Red China, so we don't have citizenship cards. The only way you can prove you're a citizen in America is to have a passport, and that's usually for the white and the rich, or your original or certified birth certificate. Not easy to get. 36,000 Kansans, almost all of them young people who couldn't get that birth certificate, don't yet have a passport, were blocked from voting in the 2016 election against the judge's orders who said that they could be allowed to vote. So he was hit with a contempt citation. By the way, the fun part of that is that he has to pay his fine to the ACLU.
I bet he loves that.
Actually, he's in real trouble because the Republican legislature voted unanimously to block him from using state money to pay for his shenanigans. And he's fighting that. That could cost him. He's running for governor. That could cost him the governor's chair, by the way. People don't like this stuff. They're looking at it as costing Kansas money on his international or national crazy cavorts against voters of color. It's not, you know, they just say, why is Kansas doing this, spending this money on this crazy campaign? The other thing is that the judge said that he had to do 6 hours. He had to go back to law school for 6 hours to learn the basics of how to behave in a courtroom, because he was a complete buffoon. He didn't know what he was doing. And it's one of the reasons why Kansas, I think, got slaughtered in the opinion. Also, he said he stopped 36,000 people from voting, saying they could be aliens. And the judge said, okay, show me one. Just show me one out of 36,000 who is an alien voter. And he said, well, there aren't any. But, you know, there could be one now. And the judge said, no, you can't do that in the United States of America yet. Now, I'm enjoying, as the ACLU and others are cherishing in this decision and this smackdown of Kobach, I do want to warn you, this is the district court, federal court. And I'm afraid of what happens when it ultimately hits the U.S. Supreme Court, right, where there is a majority of five GOP-appointed inquisitors who have so far blessed every scheme to remove voters of color.
Just going back on this issue of the judge requesting evidence, she basically wrote, and I actually erroneously said it was 118-page ruling. It was actually 188 pages. So this is a book, small book. And she said that a small number of non-citizens registrations in Kansas were largely explained by administrative error, confusion, or mistake. Kopach had argued that that was just the tip of the iceberg, and she retorted, instead, the court draws the more obvious conclusion that there is no iceberg, only an icicle largely created by confusion and administrative error. And so this is exactly the line that Trump had been echoing, right, around this, you know, large numbers of non-citizens voting, which would explain why he lost the popular election to Hillary Clinton by 3 million votes. He wants the country to believe that there are these hordes of non-citizens rushing to the ballots to vote, even though it's hard enough to get citizens who are eligible to vote to actually vote. There's actually very little personal compensation for voting. You don't get paid to vote. You don't even get a day off to vote.
Well, and let me tell you this, Sonali, you vote illegally and you get 5 years in the slammer. And that happens. That just happened in Texas. You know, there are, out of a third of a billion Americans, there's some fool that makes a mistake. And it's, by the way, usually a mistake, as the judge noted. Now, I should mention that Kris Kobach himself has called me about this, trying to get me to change my reporting. Sorry, Chris. I said, if people are voting illegally, and even the judge said that they look like maybe up to, you know, like a couple, few dozen, why aren't you arresting them? It's a crime in Kansas, and it's a federal crime. And he personally is the only Secretary of State in America with the right to arrest illegal voters. I said, why haven't you arrested them? He says, oh, just wait. Well, he found one. He found a guy who is a citizen, a United States citizen, who'd taken his naturalization oath, but he registered to vote 2 weeks before he took joined the ceremony to vote. He thought
so. He was just overeager, basically.
He was overeager. He thought he could register in anticipation that he wouldn't be voting until he got his citizenship, took his citizenship oath. So this dumb error. He actually got this guy charged and convicted of a misdemeanor. It's absurd. So in other words, his great crime wave is a drop. And of course, he and Trump have claimed that 3 million illegal aliens have voted. The problem here is the massive number of people blocked from voting. It was 1 in 7 new registered voters. So what he was doing in Kansas is going after young voters. And of course, poor voters. Two plaintiffs, two of the people that Kris Kobach stopped from voting were members of the United States Air Force. I want to repeat that. He stopped two Air Force officers from voting because he said they couldn't prove they were citizens because they had difficulty getting their birth certificates and their papers, even though they're part of the military. The military records show that they're citizens. He doesn't buy, you know, he wouldn't let them vote. And they were plaintiffs in the case. This is what's happening. It would be humorous. It would be a joke. And sending this guy back to law school would be fun, except that I'm really worried what's going to happen before the Supreme Court. And by the way, I want to mention, he ain't no dummy. He's got degrees from Oxford and Harvard. Look out. This guy is dangerous.
And Greg, remind us, for those who didn't get a chance to watch your film yet, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, remind us of your interaction with Kris Kobach in the film. You basically sort of found him and confronted him at a picnic that he was politicking at, right?
Working for BBC and Rolling Stone, we don't take politicians saying that they won't speak to us, and same with Democracy Now. I go out and hunt these guys down. I found Kris Kobach wouldn't talk to me, so I found him and flew in a cameraman used to combat duty. Found him in a public park where he's doing a Republican fundraiser. It was an ice cream social, by the way, only vanilla ice cream, and confronted him with. Literally with documentary evidence that he was fixing the election for Donald Trump. This was just before the election that I was able to jump him and showed him that he created purge lists, people to be purged for voting, people who either, he says, voted twice or, very important from the recent Supreme Court decision, have moved to another state. And for example, I showed him on camera. I said, wait a minute. You said that this one guy who has a different middle name from someone else in another state, that they're the same voter, the guy in Kansas was going to lose his vote. This is, and it's deliberate, because these purge lists that he's made up, he'll say that, for example, he uses a program called CrossCheck, which, by the way, he's given out and is being was used in Ohio, was used in Michigan before the election, absolutely flipped the state of Michigan, saying people had moved, or because they were registered twice, they're registered in two different states. And by the way, in my film, I knock on the one guy's door, Donald Webster. Now, listen, his middle name is Alexander. It's Donald Alexander Webster. He was accused of registering a second time or having moved to the state of Virginia so he could be purged from the voter rolls of Ohio. He was accused of moving to the state of Virginia because they found another Donald Webster in Virginia, Donald Eugene Webster Jr. And Donald Webster of Ohio says, I'm still here in Dayton. I have not moved. I haven't registered twice illegally. I haven't gone away. And I've never been a Eugene. I've never been a Junior. And these are the people that are being removed. And by the way, it's not coincidental that this is a black man, because how do they determine if someone's moved to another state? Well, they look at registration rolls, look at common names. So, for example, Donald Webster is a common African-American name. 85 of the 100 most common names in America, according to the census, are minority names. Hernandez, Garcia, Johnson, Black, Jackson, Kim, Chung, Wong. These are the common last names of America. And God forbid your name is David Kim or Jose Garcia, your vote is in danger. Seriously.
You refer to the Supreme Court's recent ruling, which figures into this as well. The Supreme Court essentially has said that it was acceptable for the state of Ohio to purge its voter rolls of registrations of people who had failed to vote or just simply chosen not to vote in a federal election. This is a pretty dangerous move by the Supreme Court. Can you put that into the context of what Kobach has been doing?
Now, Chris Kobach, of course, I smelled Kobach right away as soon as this court decision came down. What this is actually something that we could call purge by postcard. What I mean is you don't get removed simply because you failed to vote in an election, because the National Voter Registration Act of 1993 says you cannot remove people from the voter rolls for failure to vote. This is an old trick of the Ku Klux Klan to pass these you don't vote, you lose your vote laws. That's prohibited by federal law and the Constitution. So what's going on here? The answer is that they're using that as evidence that you didn't vote, as evidence you've moved. Not that you didn't choose to vote, or, you know, that's your right as an American, but that you that's evidence you moved. So they send you a postcard. Now, 1.5 million people in Ohio in 2012 were identified as moving. That means 20% of the state got up and moved. Really? And they removed a third of those people, 500,000. Why did they remove them? Postal change of address forms are public documents. They can get these documents. They can get these documents from the utility companies, et cetera, of who has moved. They know who's actually moved. Instead, they send you a postcard. And I have the postcard. The postcard is a piece of junk mail. And most people would throw it away. If you throw away that postcard, that's the crowning piece of evidence that you've moved, that Donald Webster has moved to Virginia because he was on that list because there's another Donald Webster in another state. Believe it or not, there's David Kims in more than one state. They get a postcard. They don't return it. Their vote is flushed out. And it is very racial through a very sophisticated system. It's a very racial business.
Shocking that the Supreme Court would affirm this in a way that was a victory for the likes of Kobach and Trump. What does it mean for other states?
Think about it this way. They removed 500,000 voters in Ohio. That was the big chunk of Trump's winning that state. They removed over 50,000 people in the state of Michigan. That was definitely the difference that gave it to Trump, where he supposedly won by only 10,700 votes. It's being used in 26 states. And so I'm trying to actually expose this and get all the information so we can expose it and stop it. Because the Supreme Court said, if Ohio says that they're using a postcard to determine if people have moved, well, they have a right to do that as a matter of law. But the one exception to Supreme Court rulings is they only reached the matter of law, and lawyers will understand this. They didn't reach it as a matter of fact. If we can prove that the postcards are a bogus way to determine if someone's moved, that it's racial, they have to can that program. Unfortunately, we're talking about several million voters at risk.
Now, presumably,
if it's only half million in Ohio. Yeah,
presumably, sorry. These purged voters can simply re-register, but they may not know they've been purged till they show up on election day, by which time it's too late to re-register for that particular election. And then they may or may not bother to vote in the next election because there really isn't very much incentive to vote in the country. We have struggled to get decent voter turnout.
Well, let me tell you, the couple things is that, first of all, if you're listening to this, please check your registration. Yeah. I do not care if you voted in the same place for 20 years. One way to defeat their system is to re-register, check your registration, make sure you're still there. They haven't purged you or marked you as something called inactive. That's a danger sign. You're about to be flushed. So,
and presumably you can do that from the website of the Secretary of State of your state?
Every state does have a Secretary of State's office with where you can re-sign up and re-register, or you could go to your county websites or go to the county itself. Do not just simply send in a mail-in form. Make sure that you do it online and you get and then print out the receipt that proves that you are registered. And otherwise, you go to vote, you're not there, and they give you a provisional ballot. If you're not on the voter rolls, even if it's unfair that you were removed, they cannot count your provisional ballot. In the last election, almost 3 million ballots were not counted, were thrown in the electoral dumpster, provisional ballots, because people were filled out these things and they thought that they got to vote, but in fact you don't. So you got to register in advance. But what I'm doing to help along to try to block this process is taking action, legal action.
Let's actually talk about your lawsuit with the ACLU. Before we get to that, let's play a short video that summarizes. This is actually a clip from The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, made by my guest, Greg Palast.
This guy, Chris Kobach. Wow. Harvard, Yale, Oxford. Republican whiz kid. He's already become a Fox News national hero for saving America from an invasion of alien voters.
Those dangerous aliens, dreamer aliens, alien votes.
Republicans claim millions of aliens voted in our elections.
12 million illegal aliens in the USA who could vote without proper identification.
They're bringing drugs.
Hundreds of illegals not supposed to be in the country, but registered to vote.
They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Kobach has ruled that voters must prove that they are Americans to vote, but he was blocked by a lawsuit filed by a group of ladies he exposed as a communist front, as he calls them, the Communist League of Women Voters.
And that's a clip from The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. Greg Palast, tell us about this lawsuit that you have launched against the states of Kansas and Ohio, the two states that we've been discussing.
Well, as a journalist, the number one thing I'm demanding is information. I want the names of every person they have purged. And by the way, Ohio just turned those over. I've filed an action, a demand for these lists from Kobach in Kansas, from John Husted, his violently Republican partisan Secretary of State of Ohio crony. Ohio's dumped the lists on us, but we need more. And so we have given them 90-day notice. When I say we, in Ohio, I'm joined by the great voting rights lawyer, Bob Fitrakis. In Kansas, our demand for the list of the purge voters is joined by the ACLU of Kansas. In Illinois, we are joined, and I'm co-plaintiff, with the Reverend Jesse Jackson, and in Georgia, with the organization of the wonderful Reverend Joe Lowry. And so we're filing, by the way, not just in those two states. Those are the key states, Ohio and Kansas, where this stuff is originating. But you have copycat states, 25 of them, 23 of them GOP controlled, who are still playing this purge by postcard game. So we're getting the names. We need all the information, the postcards, who was sent postcards. And what we are doing is proving that these lists are bogus, that people are getting postcards and removed for having moved when they're still there, which is somewhat easy to prove. We just knock on their doors and say, "Are you still here, Mr. Webster?" Or, "Yes, I am." We get their names off the mailboxes. They still have their utility bills, et cetera. So we're going to prove that this, we're going to prove what everyone in the world knows. This is a bogus means of removing people. Plus, we are going through the lists and our experts are saying it is sickeningly racial. And the response rates on these cards are unbelievably biased. For example, 18 to 24-year-olds, the new voters who are registering, they get these cards and they rarely return them. They're not used to postage, and they're students in dorm rooms, and they're moving from one dorm room to the next. You don't have to re-register to vote if you've moved your dorm room, but you're going to lose your vote if you don't get that postcard and respond to it. People in low-income people, voters of color, poor people, they are moving about within their voting districts, within their counties. But still, you know, if you move inside Cleveland, you don't have to re-register, but you're going to lose your vote because you're not going to get your postcard. It doesn't forward. And therefore, it becomes a purge of poor people, people who move. That means students and low-income people. The cards are not in Spanish. They're just blocks of print. There's no website or phone number to contact to straighten this out. It is meant not to be returned, and that's what our experts are saying. But, you know, we are getting from our experts, it's racial, it is age biased, knock out the young, it's income biased, and the lists themselves are just lists of common names. You know, like I say, Black, Johnson, Kim, Garcia, Rodriguez, that's who they're going after. And Kobach told me, he said, all they have to do is return a postcard. Well, according to our experts, Mr. Kobach, the card you designed, and this is a quote from our experts on junk mail, who said, it looks like these cards were designed not to be noticed, designed to be thrown away.
Wow.
That was their gimmick. You know it, Mr. Kobach, and that's why we're demanding the list. He's stonewalled us completely. He won't give us anything at all. But we... You know, Mr. Kobach, you see the hat. I'm an investigative reporter. We have ways of getting the lists that are legal through the back door. And I want to tell you, Mr. Kobach, not all your employees are in love with your method.
Now, Greg, in early June, the Kansas Court of Appeals ruled that a citizen grand jury could proceed with investigating Chris Kobach over an intentional failure to register voters who had tried to register through the state's online registration system. Presumably, that might attract those younger voters that you were saying, you know, move about more, aren't used to traditional mail. And so he's even sort of seems to have deliberately failed to register those voters, and now could be investigated by a grand jury. But he, as you said, is running for governor and so far is leading the polls. How is this possible?
On this, you know, racial fears that they're coming across the border to vote, and, you know, forget all the pointy-headed, liberals like Greg Palast and the ACLU, he's playing on the fear factor of the white voters who are the overwhelming majority in Kansas. On the other hand, a lot of Republicans are deeply unhappy because they see this as costing the state a lot of money on losing absurd cases. I wish that those who are opposing him would be more concerned about the actual voters who lose their rights. But one of the big issues is the tremendous cost and time, the millions of dollars Chris Kobach has spent on these losing cases, on paying contempt fines from the courts. The reason you've got a grand jury is that when the courts said, cut it out, you got to register Americans to vote, he literally played games and refused the court's orders. The judge had, by the way, the choice of putting him in the slammer, but, you know, she chose, I think, wisely not to make him a martyr by putting him in prison.
But he continues to keep his job as Secretary of State when he's literally actively not doing his job. He's also in trouble for paying a $1,000 fine using taxpayer money that he wasn't supposed to pay. So this is a man who openly flouts laws over and over again, flouts his responsibility, and is now running for governor of Kansas, and after a particular debate was leading in the polls. What happened, by the way, to the presidential roundtable or grouping that Trump had created with Kobach as in a lead role to examine voter fraud nationwide? That's basically defunct now, right?
Yes. What happened was is that Donald Trump was going to prove that there are millions of illegal voters, the 3 million people that swam the Rio Grande to vote for Hillary Clinton. And by the way, it's not just a question of he feels bad because he lost the popular vote. They're using this, as we see in Kansas, to create a citizenship proof requirement and then wipe out other voters. This is what it was all about, this commission on voter fraud. It was finally shut down. Trump had to shut it down at Kobach's request because bad boys like me and reporters and organizations like the ACLU were demanding that they turn over their records. Because once you have a government agency, you have to turn over the records of your internal memos, your communications. You have to open your meetings. He was having secret meetings. By the way, it's a government of the people and by the people. Mr. Kobach, the judges were saying you can't have secret meetings. You can't have secret memos about who you're trying to knock off and ways to knock off voters. So he chose, rather than respond to freedom of information requests by myself and others, to simply shut down the whole shebang. Now, dangerously, they've moved some of these operations into the Department of Homeland Security, somehow claiming that their right to purge voters of color is that can now be protected by from public scrutiny by claiming it's national security. No, people with name Mohammed trying to register to vote are not terrorists just because they're trying to register to vote with a name you don't like.
Greg, give out a website where people can follow the work that you do and follow the lawsuit.
Go to gregpalast.com, that's GREGPALAST.com, and get the information on the lawsuits. And, we're looking also for plaintiffs in different states to say, we want to let people vote and we want the information. That's the key thing, is to get the information. And we are getting it from some states are coughing it up. And by the way, the light shines on these states. When it comes out who they're purging, some states have begun to pull away from Kobach and are dropping out of this purge by postcard system. But it is truly, truly something that could flip the midterm election and is truly dangerous when it really grips by the 2020 election. So go to gregpalast.com and get the follow-up information.
Greg, thank you for joining us today. Good luck to you. Greg Palast is a filmmaker and investigative reporter whose news-breaking stories have appeared on BBC Television, The Guardian, and Rolling Stone magazine. His latest film is The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, a tale of billionaires and ballot bandits, based on his New York Times bestselling books. We've been discussing a recent federal judge's rebuke of Chris Kobach in Kansas and other related issues. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.